Side 15, complete short stories by Graham Greene, continuing with The Other Side of the Border on page 587. He dipped his hand in the tank. It hadn't been emptied since the last baptism because of drought. The water was warm and dusty. Then he went out into the vertical sun, into the shabby street of tin-roofed stores. Nobody was about. The hammocks droned in inner rooms, and the birds of prey squatted like domestic pigeons on the roofs, turning their little moron heads this way and that, spying for carrion. One rose, flapping the midday air with serrated dusty wings, and made across the roofs for the butcher's yard, where a dozen of its fellows rooted like turkeys. The others looked down at Billings, black clothes, black ministerial hat, walking with the obsequious pomp of a priest at a funeral. He looked up and met the appraising gaze. They might have been saying as they lent their heads together for confidences, "He'll do in a few more years, but too much skin and bone." He thought of death under the awful sun, and Mr. Baines, who had petered out last week while he prayed impromptu by the bed. It was 3 days now since he had cabled home. He thought definitely of the emptiness of that death, the consolation of religion, the harmonium in the sitting room for socials, himself sticking halfway through a prayer. It was a good death, no mummery about it. He sidestepped away from the fake Norman cathedral. The cross above the door was like an evil eye to Billings. He hated the two eloquent symbols of religion. They seemed to mock him like a Palm Beach suit with lack of breathing. A gentleman's religion. God was a bare room. God was pitch pine and an undraped table and a piece of dry bread. Between bread and wafer, a great gulf was fixed. The bread stuck in the throat for salvation. The wafer melted easily for damnation. The bishop came out of the cathedral and said, "Good morning," pleasantly to Billings, and Billings grunted back. "You wait," he thought, "you wait." Within another 30 years, they would both see. And he quivered in the secret pride of his own salvation, while the sweat gathered and dripped under the black cloth. He went into the post office. The big negro behind the counter watched him insolently. He, too, belonged to the gentleman's religion. Billings said, "I'm expecting a cable." The black wore a clean white suit. He looked Billings up and down. He always did. "What name?" he asked, though he knew it as well as his own. And leaning arrogantly back in his swivel chair, he handed a penny through a window to a small girl outside. "Three oranges," he said. "You can keep the change." "Billings." "Nothing," the black said, but as Billings turned, he called after him, "Aye, wait a moment. There may be something." He knew very well there was. The cable from England. He even knew the contents. There was a sneer and a satisfaction in his manner that broke the news. Billings took the envelope in his hand and went out. He had cabled back to the mission center announcing the minister's death, and suggesting, on account of his knowledge of the congregation, that he himself should take the dead man's place. He had spent a great deal on that cable. There was so much to be conveyed, a proper grief and ambition to serve. He made his way through the siesta empty street towards his home, but it was less a home than the chapel, the functional rectangular dwelling of God. The sun beat on the black hat and the expected misery. His hut was raised a foot from the ground because of rats and ants. Outside hung an old photographic sign, a bathing beauty spotted by heat and damp. He could develop films, but few people came to Billings for that purpose. No tourists spent much time in this British colony. Only at long intervals a cruising steamer stayed for a few hours, and people came on shore with Kodaks and snapped. A vulture, the governor's residence, a Negro woman rolling home from church in her Manchester cotton. But their films they kept for London. They didn't trust Billings, though he advertised films developed in 6 hours. Only an occasional prospector brought his pack, and a few prosperous blacks, a wedding in Wellesley Street, the opening of the Crew Town Court. And yet a stale smell of hypo always seeped out from under his door, from the darkroom, lavatory, to mix and peter out in the fish smell from the market. If I were minister, Billings thought, so long as he didn't open the cable, the news mightn't be so bad after all. The committee at home must need time for a decision. If I were minister, it meant nearly £1 a week from the collection. It meant his black suit, as it were, regularized. It meant marriage dues and baptisms and authority. In time, he could even move out of the damp heat of the town to the European station. He pushed the door open, and a mongrel puppy, hairless and pink, squirmed on its belly to his feet. It had misbehaved under the table and craved forgiveness, but he couldn't bother with it now. He stood among the advertisements for Kodak and Agfa and opened the cable. It was very short. B. Moss answering call. Arriving 16th. Please make arrangements. He looked out of the window and saw a taxi bouncing down towards the harbor. The air was spotted with buzzards. They moved imperceptibly across the hot, immaculate blue. He began to tear the cable up in very small pieces. His fingers worked faster and faster. The scraps fell round the plump and cringing puppy. An epileptic faintness seized him. He said, "My God, my God," and clutched the table edge. The table shook, shook, shook. The heat flapped down on him. Then he was well again, facing life. A little stand of yellowed homemade picture postcards, a Negro woman in Manchester cotton, the governor's residence, the smell of puppy and hypo, the sweat pouring down under the black cloth. Life for a moment had been frozen by failure, but now it thawed, it dripped on. He became conscious that a Negro was watching him from the step. He said furiously, "What do you want?" "My pictures," the man said, the voice hollow and toothless like a child's. "They aren't ready. Come back tomorrow." To work, Billings thought, was to pray. He had to begin praying all over again. He kicked the puppy and went on into the dark room. A wash basin, a shelf, a lavatory seat, a red glass window. He hung his hat on a peg, unpacked a roll of film, and bent over the shallow tray of chemicals. He had no interest in the dark strip of film. He weaved it to and fro through the hypo until another person's life began to show in fits and starts. The negative life where black is white and right is left. But his own positive life shut him in with its unequivocal injustice. He couldn't be certain that B. Moss would ever require his help with the collection. Another man might be asked to take it up. He lifted the film out of the hypo too soon. The white faces of the blacks glowed faintly like transparent insects, and began to wash the negative. He worked absent-mindedly, his pictures yellowed within a year, in the red glare of the window. Somebody knocked on his door, but he paid no attention. There were two places where he could be alone with his pride and his resentment, the chapel and the dark room. In the chapel he talked to God, and in the dark room he spoke to his own past. The child flung into the water to sink or swim, the scared boy in the playground. He listened to voices saying, "Creepy Billings," and a woman's appalling laughter. He did not pity himself. He brought up the images as a Jesuit may bring up the images of his Savior's suffering to steel himself. They were a discipline which one day would have its value. He would become impervious to contempt. Again the knock on the door. He hung the negative up to dry and went out into the shop. "Why," he said and hesitated, "it's Mr. 5 years ago," the stranger said, "an Anderson store. Don't you remember Billings that night?" "It's Hans," Billings said without enthusiasm. "I'm staying at the Grand." "The Grand?" "I'm in the money now," Hans said. He took off his big military-looking khaki sun helmet and exposed himself for Billings' inspection. The new drill suit, the club tie. He said, "What a crowd they are up there. Such starch. It might be Government House. I thought I'd slip away and see old Billings. Old Billings will have a bottle poked away." An odd expression twisted Billings' face. A sour taste, a happy memory, an unwelcome secret you couldn't tell. "5 years," he said. "A lot happens in 5 years. Another window broken in the public library. Anderson sold out to Bates. They put a pillar box in Gladstone Street. You can't tell me. I only landed this morning, but I've been looking round." "Things happen to people," Billings said. "And here's the cupboard. Let's see what you've got." He pulled it open. One empty, dusty shelf, on another Agfa and Kodak films, a bottle of fruit, Heinz beans, sardines, a tin of Cambridge sausages. "You don't say," Anne said. "You're out of it." "I found Christ," Billings said. "Didn't they tell you that at the Grand?" Anne said uncomfortably, "I didn't hear a word." "Of course," Billings said, "you never mentioned you were coming here. The street's empty, isn't it? Siesta time. You slipped along." "If you mean I'm ashamed..." "You always were ashamed," Billings said. "I always liked you. in secret. Like you like Christ, Anne said. He shut the cupboard door. What the hell, he said, don't let's quarrel the first minute. I came along, he lied, to ask you to dinner, to meet Polly. You remember Polly? And Morrow, he's new. He hesitated. And my wife. You married, Billings said. It's as you say, things happen to people. Again, the secret look of misery or delight forked Billings' mouth. He said, it wouldn't be any harm to celebrate that. You've got a bottle? For medical purposes, Billings said. He went through to his bedroom and fished under his bed, brought out a bottle of cheap brandy. I get the toothache, Billings said. It's neuralgia. There's nothing a dentist can do. Sometimes it nearly makes me mad, grinding away. You'll excuse me if I've only got a cup to offer you, but I don't have many visitors. What's happened to Cudlow? He died of yellow fever back in 35. Billings squinted up over his cup. He found Christ first. Hans laughed uneasily. We ought to drink your wife's health, oughtn't we? What's her name? Well, it's Ethel, but I call her Ethy. To Mrs. Hans. They drank, and Billings refilled the cups. She comes of a cultured family, Hans said. You'll like her. You'll have a lot in common. You see, her uncle is a photographer. I know the sort of thing, Billings said. Pictures for the Tatler and Vogue. You make them lie on the ground and shoot from above when a gramophone plays. It catches on. Society. Something of that sort, Anne said. Can I have a drop more? Just a finger. Thanks. And where's your money come from? From the wife? I'm prospecting, Anne said, for gold. Where? Across the border. There's not enough to fill your teeth, Billings said. I don't agree. Don't you remember that old Dutchman who came here? He said there was plenty in the Pandemai Hills. They had to ship him back third class at the consul's expense. But I've got money behind me. A whole expedition. Me and Polly. And a man called Morrow. We want servants and carriers. That's why I came to you. You know the blacks. You couldn't do better than Vandy for head man, but you'll get the carriers cheaper on the other side. He poured out more brandy. I wish I were you. The bush is better than this place. You work and work, and then D. Moss gets the call. Why don't you come? Collie's all right, of course, but I want someone I can really trust. He said with importance, a leader has a hell of a lot of responsibility. What's Morrow like? A prig. You feel he's watching you. He drank again. And Ethy, she's all right, but a man needs a man around. Sometimes I feel all a woman cares for. He made a little shocked expression. Is, you know, what? A leader's got to keep fit. What I don't understand, Billings said, is why they chose you. Sometimes I wonder that myself. The brandy surged like inspiration on his tongue. For years I used to imagine, you know, big things. Perhaps it's fate. A man sometimes kept for the biggest things, like Hitler. What was he? I get that feeling too, Billings said. I think of all of us. A whole crowd who've never had a proper chance. Sneered at. Sacked. And then suddenly the day comes and it's we. Is there a spot more brandy? I've dreamed sometimes of converting thousands. The father of the Negro. Those missionaries out there in the bush. They pamper the niggers with statues and holy medals. It's easy work changing one idol for another. But I'd like to give them just God. The cup clinked on the table. God bear. By God, Anne said, when you come to think of it, this is a big thing we're onto. You don't have to take the name of God in vain. I'm sorry, but you make me see things. We'll be on our own. No officials nosing round. It's history. They've stared at each other with awe. I suppose, Anne said, that's what made them choose me. They wanted someone with imagination. And faith, Billings said. Somebody knocked at the door. Billings opened it. And there was the blinding day and the buzzards on the rooftops, the little town and life going on. Ollie said, I thought I'd find you here. He came suspiciously in out of the glaring noon and was like doubt in the heart to both of them. He said, your wife's asleep, Hans. I didn't think she looked too good. It's the heat, Hans said. We all know that it takes getting used to. Have you got some brandy there? I've got a thirst. Sorry, old man, it's finished. Collie held the bottle to the sunlight, trusting neither of them. He wore a round white sun helmet, which was getting limp already with perspiration. He said, I took her up some orange juice and left it outside her door. I didn't like to wake her. Fine, old man. Where's Morrow? Riding home, he said with hatred. The Sunday letter. To Papa. Papa's dead. Mama, then. Or little sister. If there's one thing I can't stand, Collie said, it's priggishness. Thinking yourself better than the rest. That's why we are friends, he said, turning the contents of the brandy bottle hopelessly into a mug. Because we are all alike. Hans and Billings watched him, with embarrassment, as if they had been caught out in a crime or a falsehood. End of Complete Short Stories by Graham Greene.